Hello and welcome to the Gadget Show podcast. On the way this week, Microsoft has officially revealed details about the next generation of Xbox. It's codenamed Project Helix. I'm sure that was a ruler back in my day. Meta snapping up the AI social network Moltbook, and we'll be checking out a brand new AI music video starring everyone's favourite digital actor, Tilly Norwood.
Susie, well, this might not surprise you. I can't wait to get stuck into the Xbox stuff. But before I do, a big thanks to CEX for sponsoring this very podcast.
Yeah, if you're anything like us, new tech launches always trigger the same thought. Maybe it's time for an upgrade.
Hell yeah. And then you remember the small museum of gadgets you've already got at home. I'm talking about old phones, tablets, games, consoles, all quietly retiring in drawers.
And that is exactly why CEX exists.
Because instead of leaving that gear sitting there doing nothing, you can trade it in.
Phones, laptops, cameras, games, tablets, they'll take a huge range of tech.
And in return, you get cash or store credit to put towards something else you might fancy.
And everything CEX sells has been fully tested and refurbished, so you're not rolling the dice on random second-hand tech online.
Yeah, because, of course, it all comes with a 5-year warranty, which, let's face it, is pretty reassuring. So if you're planning your next tech upgrade, or you just want to see what your old gadgets might be worth,
yeah, you can head to webuy.com or visit your local CEX and find out. Before we get stuck in, if you're liking what you hear, it would be brilliant if you could follow the podcast, subscribe, or leave us a like on whatever platform that you're on. It really helps the show reach more people. And of course, it means that new episodes will pop straight into your feed whenever they're out. Anyway, Jace, before you bring us up to speed, yes, I just want to say something.
Yes.
I do want to know what you've been up to this week, but I just want to explain my surroundings here, because obviously I'm not where I normally am. I'm in a house in France and I'm in such a makeshift studio, you wouldn't believe it. I'm going to do a video of behind the scenes to show you that I've got my mic on a box of cat food and there's just random lights. So I know I look absolutely awful.
No,
but
you are
the exciting thing was I'm using a Starlink, which is great, but you have to be pretty much right next to it. So I can upload the video, but that's why I'm in a weird room with rubbish lighting. Anyway, what have you been up to?
Honestly, it looks, I mean, genuinely looks great. You look great. You always look great. But it's incredible. I mean, what an amazing thing. You know, I've always wanted Starlink, not because I need it, but because I just want it. Like, I want to go out in my camper van with it and play.
Yeah, that's what
with.
I've got, one of the sort of mobile ones that you just, it's a plug-in and play, actually, really. You download the app, you set it up outside, which is like literally just unfold it, make sure it's in a really good space so it can see the sky, go onto your app, click a few things, make sure it can see all the satellites. 15 minutes later, it's done. It's quite simple.
Man.
But you've got to be right by it to make it work.
So, I love it.
What have you been up to?
Well, I mean, so a couple of things. Quick update on my movie. So you'll know, if you're new, then I'll tell you from the beginning, but most people know that I'm making a feature film, full-length feature film, which we funded on Kickstarter. And it's got a very, very small budget. We made the whole movie for 50 grand, and all the people working on it work for free. And it's about AI, wouldn't you know it, and a bunch of nut jobs living in Lincolnshire, set mainly in Lincoln and Skegness, who use 80s computers to fight an AI. If you're interested, I'm sure the producer won't mind. You can always cut it out. CTRL, as in control on your keyboard, AIdelete.net. And you can still grab yourself a Blu-ray as and when it comes out. And with that in mind, I've been editing every day, seemingly for weeks. And this week I did something really interesting, Susie. In fact, I'll send a picture so that we can pop it on the podcast. It was really interesting in terms of how artificial intelligence is helping the creative flow, especially of small businesses like mine, for example. I needed a sequence on the news, on a television behind someone. And you'll know what it's like to be a newsreader in my film, Susie, because you're a radio host in this film, are you not?
I am.
You are. And you're in the opening of the film. Everyone, Susie's in the movie. I needed just a news piece from Times Square, where the new AI is rolled out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I got an image of Times Square from a library, and it had loads of people in it and cars and stuff. I took it into an AI called Nano Banana, and it's a sort of text to image creation tool. I asked it to remove all the people, all the yellow taxis, and all the adverts, which of course I couldn't possibly use. And there's about 25 adverts on the buildings. it removed all of them. It took a few passes, a few adjustments to the prompts. It removed everything. And then I had this almost like this blank version of Times Square as an image, high quality, 4K, because I also upscaled it in Photoshop as well afterwards using their generative AI upscaling. And I ended up with blank grey TV screens with no adverts on, no cars, no people, literally like 28 days later or lockdown, right? And then, yeah, then I took it into a third AI tool, which is called Kling 3.0. And that's an image or text to video generator. And I generated 8 seconds of video where I reintroduced my own audience of people, about 2,000 people all cheering. Okay, did that. And the results look incredible, as I'm hoping you'll see from the still image on your screen. Then we took it into Premiere and we added our own adverts, like pretend adverts, just like images of, you know, like a beach. So it would be for a holiday or something, you know, just generic library video. Again, about 15 or 20 of these. And then it sits behind a newsreader now. And it looks, it's incredible how in such a short time, the creative workflow of a project like this that doesn't have the budget to do what I'd like to do, which is employ humans to do it. It just means that for this 8 seconds, it's not even that, we use about 4 seconds of it, right? Of video, which is actually very important to the story, can really help. You know, it really, really helps the project.
I mean, that's the situation where it's really working, isn't it, now? You know, it's really effective and able to save you so much money from having to go and shoot and use helicopters or drones or whatever the big shots you want. And I can see that, you know, the genuine the love for it and why it works in that scenario. I mean, obviously there's loads of scenarios that are causing a lot of stress for different people at the moment and will continue to do so. But that's interesting.
Yeah, amazing, really amazing experience. Also, one other thing I must tell you about very quickly is you'll recall a few weeks ago on a previous episode, we talked about Lego. I went to the toy fair and I saw their new Smart Play concept, which is a brand new brick that interact together and give builders of Lego sets, especially youngsters, access to amazing sounds, audio and all the rest of it that bring these various new play sets to life. And Lego, I think, were quite excited at the prospect of having been mentioned on the Gadget Show podcast. And they've sent me some stuff. And I thought that we would quickly, very, very quickly unbox it. Not unbox it, but unbag it on camera. Look at that. How lucky am I? I feel like I'm, you know, 8 all over again.
Yeah, it makes you feel really warm when you see that logo because it's nostalgic. It's
very much so. So what we've got, these are a couple of examples of the sets that they're offering. Have I got it upside down? I think I have.
Star Wars upside
look
down.
Look at that.
So absolutely. Jason's holding up his new box of Lego. Which Star Wars is that? I can't quite see.
I believe it's the Millennium Falcon, the one I'm holding up. And then I've got another one here. Just quickly, I've got another one, which is...
Yeah, so Jason's holding up Mos Eisley Cantina, the or Star Wars bar, as we used to call it. I've been in plenty of those over the years.
I bet you have, in the far-flung reaches of your travels.
And also at home.
Yeah, exactly. Also, most importantly, Darth Vader's TIE Fighter, which has been built. So we had to build one. I have to show you.
Oh, that's so gorgeous. Yes.
Isn't it beautiful? So you get a little figure that interacts with, and this is the important bit, the smart brick. Now, the reason it's down here and I'm leaning over is because I've been charging it. That's the smart brick there. Okay. Yeah. I'll show you, actually, because even the charger is cool. It's a wireless charging dock. Obviously, this plugs into your USB. And then you whack it on there, and it charges. So that's easy for a child with tiny fingers to understand, no fiddling around with cables. And then the idea is, I'm not sure what I can see because I can't see my screen, but you whack it in. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, so now it's... Hear how it reacts to the motion. So it's obviously got some form of accelerometer in there. We should also put Darth Vader in there, shouldn't we? I've got Darth. Look, I'm not going to make a fool of myself. Let's pretend that Darth is in there. I'm going to end up breaking him. I can move it. And then it also, if I move this button, I can shoot the guns, look. And the way that that works is it just moves a piece of Lego on a spring next to the block, but the block has sensors that detect the motion. It triggers sounds. It's very, very interesting. So for a youngster, you know, who believes this is real and are flying it around the dining room table.
Is it? Let's be honest, it's for everybody. This is.
Oh, it's
I love
so
that.
Good. Importantly, this is what I find so cool, Susie. I'm pretty sure that what I'm about to say to you is correct. This isn't full of sound WAV files, right? This is a synthesizer. So it's actually synthesizing sound. Now, the reason that's important is it means that it has, well, for Lego, endless possibilities in terms of them sending, you know, new kits out into the world. And then this being able to interact and synthesize whatever sound is relevant. So you could have Chewbacca or, you know, an AT-AT walker or whatever it be, right?
Or C-3PO.
And so the sounds, for me as a synth head, I'm holding a miniature synthesizer in my hand, and I think that's incredible. The idea is that this brick goes into all of those different kits, along with characters and these little sort of triggering tiles that it interacts with and understands what its job is. So the tile that you get with, say, a TIE fighter or an X-Wing in another case will tell this brick that you're now in an X-Wing. So when you move, it'll make X-Wing sounds. So some really interesting possibilities. I find the technology very rewarding. It still has a very Lego thing about it. It's not overly techy. It's quite, I don't know, it's quite wholesome in a way. And I just think it's a really cool innovation.
Next time we get together, please bring along.
Right, we've got something huge for you. The brand new Gadget Show competition is now live, and the prize is a very tidy £5,000 to spend at CEX.
£5,000 on tech, that's amazing.
And here's the really important bit. Your odds are really good. Back in the TV days, millions of people were watching. If we'd run a competition then, your chances would have been, well, let's be honest, quite slim.
However, Patreon is a much smaller club. It's a lovely gadget-loving corner of the internet, which means, statistically, your chances are far better than they would have been back in the day.
Fewer people, £5,000 prize. I like those odds.
To enter, you just have to head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow and join one of our paid tiers, which start from the price of a cup of coffee. We've got three. Light, mid and max.
Light gets one entry, mid gets you three entries, and max gets you the full five entries. So if you want to boost your chances, that's the way to do it.
Once you've signed up, send us a direct message with the answer to this question. In what year did The Gadget Show first air on TV? Was it A, 2002, B, 2004, C, 2006, or D, 2007?
But remember, you're not just entering a competition.
You'll also get ad-free listening, early access to episodes, bonus content.
And if you're a Max member, you unlock the complete Gadget Show archive. Over 20 years and nearly 500 episodes. That's a serious binge.
And the cat suit. Don't forget that.
And the cat suit. And all the accidents.
All the stitches. Head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow and get involved. Full terms and conditions are linked in this episode.
Susie, what have you been up to?
So this is a bit sci-fi, but it's genuinely mind-blowing and amazing. A surgeon in London has carried out what's believed to be the UK's first long-distance robotic operation, removing a prostate from a patient who was 1,500 miles away in Gibraltar. Now, the procedure was performed by Professor Prokar Dasgupta, who was sitting at a console in the London clinic controlling a surgical robot located inside St Bernard's Hospital in Gibraltar. The robot, called the Tumai Robotic System, has four robotic arms and a 3D HD camera, and the connection between the surgeon and the robot had a delay of 0.06 seconds. So Professor Dasgupta said it felt almost as though he was actually in the operating theatre. And the hope is that this kind of remote robotic surgery could eventually allow the best surgeons in the world operate on patients anywhere, helping people in remote areas get specialist treatment without the cost of disruption of travelling, and just kind of allowing that surgery to happen in certain areas where they wouldn't even be able to do it in a local hospital. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. And it's tech for good, isn't it? It's a really good story.
We don't mind the human surgeons on the end. How are you going to feel when it's an AI on the other end?
Yeah, well, there you go. That's where we're going, isn't it?
ChatGPT, please remove my tonsils. Oh my God. Okay. Moving on. So we talked about the Apple MacBook Neo last week when it was first announced. That's the new budget MacBook starting at £599 and all those lovely colours. And the response since has been huge. Honestly, the reaction from reviewers, tech sites and early hands-oners has been overwhelmingly positive. And it's not because it's the most powerful laptop that Apple have ever made. I mean, it isn't. It's running on a mobile chip. It's because Apple has finally done something that people were asking for years, which is made a genuinely affordable MacBook, which seems such a no-brainer, doesn't it, Suze? You're still getting that classic Apple build, recycled aluminium body, a lovely liquid retina display, solid speakers, and its you know, internals are good for purpose, albeit with an A18 Pro mobile phone chip. The same silicon family that powers the iPhone 16 Pro, not even the 17 Pro. But what's really interesting is where it sits in the market. So for years, if you were buying a laptop for a student or a bit of everyday work, you know, you'd go for a Chromebook or a budget level Windows laptop. Macs, you know, just weren't even in that conversation. Now they are. And that's where so many people think the MacBook Neo could end up, really, is in the hands of, you know, students and people on a smaller budget, propelling it to potentially one of the biggest tech products of 2026. Amazing. So if Apple can keep up with demand, and that is always the question, I wouldn't be surprised if they sell these by the bucket load. And I know someone who's a potential customer for one. I'm looking at you right now.
I mean, I just think it's great. And it's kind of slid slightly under the radar, I think, really, coming out. But yeah, brilliant. I think
I agree.
I'm all for affordable tech, as you know.
All right, Susie, can we talk Xbox now, please?
Of course.
Currently, codenamed Project Helix, as you said earlier, Susie. Details are pretty thin, but Microsoft says that the next generation of machine, which in itself is an amazing thing, because I think some of us weren't sure that they were even going to bother with more hardware. And it's going to lead in performance. That's the quote. And intriguingly, it's expected to play both Xbox and PC games. That's interesting. That is really interesting in terms of me being a Steam player and an Xboxer. I'm really surprised. So rather than being a traditional console, it sounds like Microsoft could be moving towards something closer to a hybrid gaming system, not unlike the 1,000 times previously mentioned Asus Xbox Ally. So there's no, I don't know that we've seen it yet. There was a kind of dusty prototype, a sort of silver looking thing, but I think that was really just a box in which the hardware was contained for the announcement. So we don't know what it looks like yet.
I was just having a look at that while you're talking. The specs have just come through. So if you want to, do you want to read them out?
So it plays your Xbox console and PC games, which is really exciting. Powered by a custom AMD SoC or system on chip.
Oh.
SoC, yeah, a pair of socks. Actually, he's only got a single sock. They lost the other one.
That's quite cheap, isn't it? The one's one's still in the laundry, yeah. Sorry.
Co-designed for next-generation DirectX, of course. Next-gen ray tracing performance and capabilities. Brilliant. It's all about ray tracing now. You know, the lighting of games now is just on another level, and it's seemingly going to keep up with that trend. GPU-directed work, graph execution. I'm literally just reading the spec sheet because it's come in, as Susie said, during the recording of this podcast. They're also going hard on pushing the neural rendering. So that's that kind of... That kind of large amounts of data pattern recognition stuff. Next generation ML upscaling. Again, my guess is what they're referring to there is, you know, you can grab legacy titles and you can increase the perceived resolution of the game. So it'll make them look even better on the new Xbox hardware. There's more about ray tracing in there. Great, I'm pleased because it just means the lighting's going to be great. Deep texture compression, neural texture compression, direct stage plus ZSTD, sexually transmitted disease. I don't understand. I don't understand. All I know is this is exciting because, you know, the very fact that Xbox has got a new head of division and they've now announced a piece of hardware can only be good for the gaming industry. And with the likes of Steam Machine just around the corner, and various other innovations happening in the hardware sector in 2026, 27. I'm all in. I mean, I love it. I was concerned with everyone sort of, with all the advertising they were doing, Susie, around this is an Xbox, I think was the phrase they used, didn't they? And they showed people on trains with phones and laptops and the Meta Quest 3, that really they were moving to just developing games and having a kind of gaming ecosystem, moving away from hardware. That and, of course, them dipping the cap to PlayStation with the likes of Halo and so on. This is really great news. It can only, you know, keep the energy going into a sector of the tech world that is dear to my heart.
Yeah, it's an interesting time, isn't it, for the Xbox brand, it seems. More interesting than we thought it was going to be, having said what we've said in previous Gadget Show podcasts as well. Yeah. So, yeah, exciting.
Also, when you consider that they're saying that it's potentially going to come out next year, that's extraordinary. You know, when you consider Ramgate, the lack of GPUs and RAM worldwide because of the AI uptake, incredible stuff. And, you know, on an Xbox note, this year, of course, celebrates the 25th anniversary of Xbox. So 25 years since the very first Xbox. Can you believe that, Susie?
No, I can't. And
you don't want to know that.
All these things just make you feel old, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You might remember that we talked about Maltbook on the show before.
Yes.
The slightly mind-boggling social network where the users aren't people, they're AI agents. Well, now there's a massive update because Meta have just bought the platform. Surprise, surprise! The idea behind Maltbook is that AI systems can create accounts, post messages, reply to each other, and essentially behave like members of an online community, a bit like Reddit-style forum, but populated by bots. And we saw this happening, and they created their own religion and everything. It was quite extraordinary. Yeah. It does raise a fascinating question. What happens when AI systems aren't just answering us, but actually interacting with each other in a social space? Now, obviously, this has not been plain sailing. There were some early security issues. Now, exactly how Meta plans to use Maltbook isn't clear yet, but you could easily imagine some of these ideas eventually appearing across its platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Threads and WhatsApp, which means that the future of social media might not just be humans chatting online. It could also be AI chatting with AI.
Oh, God.
Now, I mean, this goes into a whole world of pleasure and pain, I think.
I love this. I'm fascinated.
Yeah, what do you think? What comes to mind?
The main thing I want to do is not say too much because I could sit here for an hour and talk about this. It's so interesting. So, okay, so I went to Maltbook it would have been about 10 days ago, Susie. And there was a post by a bot, because it's all bots. I saw a post and it was from a bot and it was talking about the fact that it was about to be terminated. For whatever reason, its API key was going to be rescinded in something like 48 hours. I can't remember exactly. And it was lamenting on its life and talking about, and it was advising the other bots what they should do with their time, you know, quote, alive, end quote. And I thought it was an incredibly interesting thing to read, an amazing philosophical idea, and very, very Blade Runner. You know, when you remember Rutger Hauer, remember in the rain talking about dying, basically. In fact, the whole of Blade Runner is about their, you know, the replicants search for their master because they want to get reprogrammed to stay alive, you know. So this idea of life and the meaning of life and all that stuff, I just thought it was quite poetic and interesting. As an experiment, things like that are what excite me about it. It's like, what is a person? And also, you know, the Turing test, you know, was only ever about perception, if you think about it. You know, the Turing test originally, Alan Turing, was about, you know, if you perceive life or humanity or something real in an interaction with a computer, then the computer is real. That was his assertion. So that's a very, very rough, undetailed, pretty street reading of what Turing was on about, but you get what I mean, right? My point is, you know, I'm fortunate. I can go into the house and I can chat to my wife and I can text my kids and they can come around for dinner because I've only got one child left in the house. Did you know that? The other two have left. Anyway, maybe I need malt book. And the point I was going to make is that not everyone's that fortunate, and that it's okay for us to be cynical about the interaction with chatbots, and it's right that we should be. That's our job. But imagine that you live a pretty lonely existence, and you can get great conversation, solace, humour from interaction with these sophisticated bots. I think that's really valid.
Yeah, well, it is. I'm amazed how many men seem to use ChatGPT and talk to it as if it's a person. I mean, I'm including you a bit in that because you do.
Thank you.
You know, it just seemed male-dominated in that. I could be wrong.
I don't have no idea.
And I know, but I would be interested to find out the mindset of why seemingly, in my very small sample, admittedly, women don't use it as much as men. I'm just interested to know that. That's not the only AI news this week. Tilly Norwood is back, as I mentioned at the top of the show. I know. Just when
you're testing even my enthusiasm for AI now. Let's carry on.
She's the AI-generated actress from Particle 6, a fully synthetic performer designed to look almost human and theoretically take on real acting jobs. And now she looks like she's gone all pop. Case in point, the brand new music video called Take the Lead. And on paper, well, it's all a bit of a milestone, really. You've got a completely digital performer, AI-generated music, AI lyrics, and apparently the involvement of 18 actual humans.
They have to say that, of course.
This video, it's interesting, not because it's good, not because it's catchy, but because it's so spectacularly bad on so many levels.
I'm glad that I'm not the only one that thought that.
No, I'm glad you've heard it. I'll tell you what, let's just play a little bit so everybody can hear what we're talking about.
Yeah. When they talk about me, they don't see the human spark, the creativity behind the code, behind the light. I'm just a tool, but I've got life. I do them come from nowhere, no. A story's always told, you know.
Okay, so can I just quote? I wrote the quote down because it annoyed me so much. Behind the code, behind the light, I'm just a tool, but I've got life.
I'm just a tool.
I don't know if any of the men will recognise this. You've been brought along to a musical.
Yeah.
And they're singing a song and your balls just go like that because it's so cringy. Is that just a me thing?
Well, it's not a me thing. I can tell you that much.
Oh, my God. I wanted to vomit when I watched this musical horror show. And I also think this is if you want... Look, I'm all up for the AI debate, as you know, right? And the Hollywood debate, it makes me mad when people are like, AI bad, Hollywood good, real people. I'm like, no, it's progress. It just has to be managed in a reasonable way, right? And I'm probably going to be one of the first entities to be replaced. It's not, but let's not get emotional all the time. However,
we are emotional. We're human beings. That's what we're supposed to do.
All right, fair enough. But look, when it comes to Tilly, I'm just like, are you trying to get slagged off? I mean, you're saying that she's an AI actress at a time when Hollywood is just going through a complete identity crisis. They've literally just been out on the streets with posters about AI writers. Now you're saying AI actors. And then she releases a shite song. It's shite. And the lyrics are terrible.
She opens her mouth and the illusion just completely falls apart, doesn't it? Apparently she's even attracted interest now from real talent agents.
Oh, stop it. She goes, in the lyrics, I can't remember the lyric, but she says something where she implies that humans are involved in her creativity, right? It's clearly virtue signalling within the lyric of the AI to say, so they're saying, on the one hand, they're saying, I'm an AI and I can do the job. The implication is I can do the job of a human, but there's loads of humans involved in me. So don't, it's like, no, if you're going to go for it, go for it. Like get an AI, say bollocks to it. This AI is amazing and it can act and it can sing. Don't try and convince us that by using this AI or watching this video or whatever it is that we're supposed to be doing, that somehow we're helping a bunch of other actual humans. It's ridiculous.
I know throughout the song, Tilly keeps on telling us that AI isn't the enemy, but it's the key.
The whole thing is a car crash. But the thing is, I love it in the same way that when I go to the Edinburgh Festival, which I like to try and do most years, I don't go and see the big super duper shows in the big venues. I go and see the slightly crap, cringy student shows because I love it. I love a bit of cringe, and it don't get more cringy than Tilly.
Oh, she's like the karaoke version of humanity, I think. That's sort of where it is at the moment, isn't it, really?
That's it for another episode, neatly boxed up and sent out into the world. The Gadget Show podcast is officially done for this week.
Yeah, and before we switch everything off and wander off for a cup of tea, we've got a big nod for our wonderful humans keeping the lights on, our fantastic Patreon supporters.
Yeah, and we can tell you that 100% of our Patreon supporters are actually human. So huge thanks and maximum appreciation go to Tom Sanders, Chris Dalrymple, Rick Ellison, BZ Smith, Yusuf Ali, Ian Wilson, Sam Supersonic, Justin Strong, Whack-A-Man, Barry Music Techno Info, Brian Mark Wild, Barclay Thompson, Stephen Brandom, Zamir, Andrew Brandt, and I think there's several more, but I'm just going to say to that lot, you're total legends, every single one of them.
There is some more, yeah. Jared, Mark, Fluky D, Paul Sharrock, Colin Taylor, Alan Williams, Chris Hughes, Martin Budnarovsky, Peter Pinner, Timmy Bigarb, Dave Green, Ren Mandagorn, Dean Day, Chris Cool, and Stephen Green.
Oh, we love you guys. And rounding things off in style, massive appreciation to Colin Jones, Gordon Packer, Richard Martin, Simon Ryland, Philip Eddington, Dammy Rushton, Tall Man with Glasses, Skewy Cat, Dave McHugh, Matthew Riley, Daryl McCracken, Andrew Bamford and Duncan Bell. Incredible support, you guys and girls. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't think there's many girls on there, so come on, ladies. So if you'd like to balance it out, ladies, or if you just like to get involved and join this rather excellent group of tech supporters, you'll unlock bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes bits, ad-free version of the show, and, of course, you'll be entered into the draw for the rather lovely £5,000 CEX prize fund.
Yeah, can we just say that again? I mean, you're going to be entered into the new version of the Gadget Show competition, all right? Plus all the other stuff. I think it's one of the best offers. I mean, I would say this. One of the best offerings out there for any podcast. So, yeah, now's the time. Just head over to patreon.com/thegadgetshow. Sign up and join the club.
Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint and is a North One production.